As a business owner, it's important to keep your business connected. Spectrum Business is committed to keeping your business online whenever and wherever you need us, all backed by the Spectrum Commitment. Get fast, reliable internet starting at $40 per month when bundled, or level up your internet speed and get a 3-year price guarantee. Learn how Spectrum Business can help your business stay connected at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
I'm Rhett.
And I'm Link.
And we're the hosts of the podcast Ear Biscuits. We're just two lifelong friends who've been talking about life for a long time.
From being dads to businessmen to all the random things we experience, nothing is off limits.
And now we're talking to you. We're answering your questions, giving advice that you may or may not want to take, and listening to your hilarious stories.
So leave us a voicemail to be part of the show at
1-888-EARPOD1 on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome to another week of the best of SDH AM from Soccer Down Here, the SDH Network. Soccer Down Here AM is found on the SDH YouTube channel. It is also found on SDH's X and Twitch channels. You can find it Monday through Friday, traditionally starting 9:05 in the morning and ending 2 hours later, sometimes a lot longer than that, as was evidenced this past week as we get into conversations and previews and reviews of everything going on when it comes to all of the great news that is occurring in the sport of soccer that happens to intersect with us on SDH AM. Thanks for dropping by, as you always do here in the Off the Woodwork podcast section of 92.9 The Game, 92.9thegame.com, and the Odyssey app. Here is the tour this week. We're going to preview what's going on with Atlanta United, and what we like to do on SDH AM at some point during the week is navigate opposition research. And what we like to do is try and contact someone who has a close relationship, an immediate tie with the opposition for Atlanta United, and find out what's going on with the club that is going to be faced by the Five Stripes every single week out. This time, as they're getting ready for the matchup in Chester, Pennsylvania against Philadelphia Union, we caught up with the play-by-play voice of the Union, Dave Leno. Got his perspective on the tumultuous offseason for the Union, what it's been like with a new head coach, what it's been like without some of the star players, and some folks standing up and getting ready for the matchup with Atlanta United coming up Saturday night. Here's our conversation with Dave Leno. We get to add Dave Leno to our golden ticket holders and find out what in the wide world of sports is going on in his world. And so what I am going to do is I'm going to see if I can just have Dave's audio here, because I am going to see. There we go. That's the one that we're trying to do. All right, here we go. Dave Leno, good morning. How are you?
Good morning, guys. Can you hear me okay? Sorry for just the audio only today. I'm driving actually down to our training in Chester, and just a busy week with the kids home from school with spring break, but grateful to be with you this morning.
I was going to ask how spring break has gone with you this morning and this week. You've been balancing everything and all of it.
It's been great. We've been to the Crayola Factory Museum in Easton, PA, which is a little ways away from our stadium and kind of the Philadelphia area and the Bucks County, Pennsylvania area, just essentially north of the city. Running around with my son, Hudson, who's 5. We actually brought him down to training on Wednesday and took in a little bit of the practice, met some of the guys, the coaching staff, which was really nice because he met a lot of the new faces. So I got a 5 and a 1-year-old. So needless to say, for my wife and I, it's been busy. But again, I love doing these things and always look forward to a Union Atlanta matchup. I really do. We have a lot of history against each other. So it should be fun.
Yeah. What I want to do, Dave, and what I've started doing this year in bringing in the Oppo research, as they say in poli sci or inside the Beltway in Washington, is I wanted to try and have the Atlanta United fan who either watches or listens to us have an education about the team that they're playing against. And so every single week we bring in the voice of or someone who's tight to the program. And then that way we can get a good gauge to what is to be expected in the present tense in addition to the history that's attached in the past tense. So I need to go all the way back to the beginning of this season with you and work forward. Bradley Carnell comes in and he becomes the new man on the touchline. Jim Curtin, you know, longtime voice, long time on the touchline, no longer there. What has been the response to Carnell as the new head coach there in Philadelphia, bringing in his twists to what folks are used to seeing on the field?
Yeah, well, we have a different coach, different, you know, tactical formation. So new system, new identity, a new ethos for the club. You know, quite candidly, you know, a lot of people, you know, wrote us off, you know, after Jim was let go and some faces last year, like Julian Carranza to Feyenoord, Jose Martinez, and others, you know, have left. And most recently, Daniel Gosdag, which I'm sure we'll get to in a moment. So going into the year, you know, many didn't think after missing the playoffs for the first time since 2017 that we would not be very good. And that's one, you know, thought of it. And going in, you know, there were little to no expectations for the club. And I would say that, you know, some of the faces were brought back. We lost one of our center backs that has been with the team since 2017, Jack Elliott. He left in free agency and joined the Chicago Fire. Many Atlanta fans who follow your games will understand that, you know, the Union have had, you know, this center back duo for quite some time with Jack Elliott and Jacob Glestis. But Elliott left, had a young child in Chicago, and that team, if anybody's followed, after losing their first game, you know, they've been thriving under Greg Berhalter recently. So happy for them. And then, you know, coming in, they announced Bradley Carnell coming from St. Louis. Some may realize his first year as an expansion team in St. Louis 2023 takes them to the number one spot in the West. Then obviously there's tape on them, whatever. They go on this magical run of the regular season. They lose in the first round of the playoffs to Sporting Kansas City. He gets sacked. I believe it was midway through, like July timeframe of 24 with St. Louis. From what I understand, they played a little more possession with players that maybe didn't fit that mold in year two. And he was let go. But from what I can tell you since coming into the Union, from my standpoint, is that guys have bought into his identity. They had a really good preseason in Spain and also in Clearwater, Florida. And, you know, some games they lost, some games they won, but, you know, picked up a little bit of knocks here and there. But from all accounts, preseason was really good about establishing, as I'm sure you can understand, a new culture. And then fast forwarding to the year, you know, the team goes 3-0 to start the season. I think the biggest surprise to a lot of pundits around the league was we win 4-2 in Orlando, and Orlando's expected to be a really good team this year. I know it's kind of been topsy-turvy for Oscar Pereja to start the year. We allow a first-minute goal to, an eighth-minute goal to Pasalic. So we allow the first goal of the year in the eighth minute, and then we kind of stun them 4-2. And then it kind of unravels there, and we beat a Cincinnati team 4-1 that was finding their footing at the start of the year. We win at a team that wasn't playing well at the start of the year, now has won a couple in New England 2-0. And then we get exposed a little bit against Nashville and a coach that knows us pretty well in B.J. Callahan. So what he did and what others are doing is like a mid-to-low block defensively, sitting back, saying, Union, you have the ball, and you try to break us down. So lastly, I'll end it with tactics. You know, under Jim, we played this 4-4-2 diamond well before that. When I first joined the Union under, like, when Ernie Stewart was the sporting director, it was like a 4-2-3-1. It's lately been the 4-4-2 diamond. Now it's a box 4-2-2-2 under Carnell. Lately, though, I will end by saying this long answer with, you know, we haven't gotten the results. The opportunities are there. We're not scoring. We're 1-3-1 in the last five, winless in the last three games, shut out in the last two to Orlando and New York City. So we're hoping now this is the start of two home games for us against Atlanta, D.C., and then we go to Montreal, who hasn't played well at the start of this year. So hopefully things can be turned around. But for all accounts, what I see, everybody buying into the Bradley Carnell system.
Dave Leno joining us to discuss everything Philadelphia Union as Atlanta gets ready to hop on a plane and head up to Chester to take them on this weekend here on SDHAM. And when you look at one of the early surprises, at least statistically, here for Philadelphia in 2025, did the Ty Baribeau having all these goals happen on your bingo card out of the blocks this season?
You know, just seeing what he did last year when he got playing time after the Carranza transfer to Feyenoord, I was so happy for him because that was a guy that was came in from the Austrian Bundesliga, a lot of success, in Israeli international, has gotten more time with Israel given his success in MLS. It wasn't surprising that he was leading the Golden Boot to start. To me, he's the type of striker that, you know, can find that space in the box with a little flick, you know, pass, like, can run off the back shoulder of a center back. And I'm generalizing what Ty can do, but he's not a guy like a Mikel Uwe that's going to beat you on the dribble and they're going to play into space and say, all right, we're going to play a long diagonal or direct play to you. And, you know, you try to be on the dribble for 15 yards and try to score. Baribeau is not that type of striker. He's in and around the box, really good at the end of crosses. You know, can win second and third balls, and that's how Ty has scored. So I saw that a lot last year. He was good in the League's Cup last year. Anytime he got the playing time, you know, there was always a chance for Ty to score, which I think it's safe to say with a lot of strikers, you know, they go through ebbs and flows, right? They go through streaks and, you know, cold spells, and right now, you know, Ty's goalless in a couple of games, you know, but he did get off to a hot start. So to answer your question, that doesn't surprise me with him. What they need to figure out is you bring in a club record transfer signing from our end in Bruno Damiani coming from Nacional. So for the Uruguayan, you know, with Bruno, I think he's still getting acclimated, A, to MLS, B, to this system, and then C, to the United States. It was the first time for Bruno and another new number six in the midfield, Jovan Lukic, playing in a baseball stadium for the first time or seeing a baseball stadium, being inside. When we went to Citi Field to play New York City, we just lost 1-0 up there in Queens. So, Ty, what you will see with a lot of strikers, lastly, in the league, is that he will get on a run scoring, you know, three consecutive games, four of the last five. But then there will be the type of, you know, little spells where he's goalless in three, for example. So, obviously, as the voice of the Union, hopefully he has a good game against Atlanta and would love to see him get back on the sheet.
No doubt. Dave Leno dropping by on his way to practice. Philadelphia is getting ready for Atlanta United as we continue opposition research on a Friday here on SDHAM. When you're looking at not having Daniel Gazdag, I know that the way that things are now with the league, with the intra-league purchases and transfers and such, this one was definitely one that raised the people's eyebrow. And I feel like with WrestleMania 41 this weekend, I probably should reference it that way. Yeah. You know, this one was a head scratcher for those outside of Philadelphia. Was this just something that, I mean, there was trust in the individuals that were there? I mean, what was the background on this, and how was this trigger getting pulled to where one of your studs is now with one of your rivals?
Yeah, I'm really, 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 I was really surprised that Danny got moved. I love Danny, know him well, his family, young family. And I think I, like everybody, kind of was like, wow. I mean, because we had such a great start the first, you know, six, seven games with him. And I think that Danny going into the season, from what I've read and from what a little bit I understand, you know, was at the end of his contract to get an option year next year. And I don't know definitively if he was in the plans to make the money that he and his agent wanted. So I don't know long term, and this is just me, you know, putting out, you know, taking off my team hat for a second as a broadcaster and saying, I don't know, with Ernst Tanner, a sporting director, and the technical staff, that he was in the long-term plans. I can tell you, as a guy who was our all-time leading scorer, like 59 goals in the regular season, I believe 72 across all competitions, you know, a threat, you know, for a guy that can go out wide, shoot from the top of the box, and to end that, just, you know, for the penalty spot, I think he was 24 of 25 from the spot in regular season play. So a lot of his goals came from there. And I would say that, you know, reading some of the articles that came out, and I learned a lot through that, great reporting by Tom Bogert and others, you know, around the team that cover us. You know, it sounds like that there were talks with Danny that were really open, though. It wasn't like the sporting director, and I know Ernst really well, Ernst Tanner, our sporting director, for those that don't know. The dialogue was two ways. It wasn't like the union were shopping him around or anything like behind Gosdog's back. I think it was made apparent that maybe, hey, it might come to an end with the union. And I think that still shocks a lot of our supporters here. And, you know, I think they were looking for clubs all around the league. And the most viable option came Columbus. I saw the reporting that Tom Bogert had that FC Dallas, you know, went with Lucho instead of potentially from the West. Looking at Danny, and I think, you know, being being from the union, I think it's better to, you know, for the organization, you know, to send him to somebody that we're not going to play a lot. Well, Columbus was the one that stepped up, I think was the most interested from what I understand, out of all the teams that they inquired with. And he kind of, you know, they've been looking to fill that void with Cucho gone and Moore in the tack. Although, from what we all know, watching Columbus, they're still one of the lone two unbeatens, I believe, with Miami left in the league at the top of the East. So I think he's going to fit that more possession-based style that Wilfred Nancy deploys, different from us that like to play without the ball. We're still going to miss him. So then to follow up on your other part of the question about who steps in. Yeah. Well, that's the big thing, right? With these cash, with these new trade things where you could trade for cash, we made two deals, not just one. Gosdog recently. And another one that was surprising to union fans was a young guy that we had through the system, Jack McGlynn, mm-hmm. who's been getting some time with the U.S. men's national team recently. You know, some may say McGlynn didn't fit this, you know, the amount of running that we do under Bradley Carnell now, more of a possession-based guy, plays that long ball chipped over the top, direct play. And there's just, a ton of running in this game, and we need that, especially not just offensively, but on the defensive side with a recovery sprint. So the sporting director and the staff make the two deals, which definitely I think plays into why these moves were made at the times they were made. Yeah. Who we fill that void of Gosdog in particular with this topic. Number one is Indiana Vasilev, who has familiarity with Bradley Carnell at St. Louis, came from Miami, has a little Premier League experience with Villa and just their system, but was, you know, sent off to other clubs and, you know, trying to make a name for himself here in the States. And Vasilev's very different than Gosdog as like a second number 10 to Quinn Sullivan. Vasilev's very shifty, good left foot, can shoot from distance. Is he going to be the type of guy that goes into the channel and goes well away from goal that Gosdog did? He can. He's versatile and can play the 6, 8, or the 10 role. And we've seen all three of those roles for Vasilev. Last game, I would add, and I'm saying this very objectively, that, you know, I didn't call Indiana's name on our broadcast probably for the first 30 minutes, and it was a tight field at Citi Field at the time because the Yankees had a game, so the game wasn't at Yankee Stadium. So a little unfair, I think, for Indiana, objectively, for the first game to be that starting 10. It was a second start because we missed a ton of guys on the international window. So it's him, and then lastly, it's what does it mean for Kevin Sullivan? You know, the wonder kid, 15 years young. You know, many around the world say he's the best at his age at that 10 position. And we'll see. Kevin's played twice off the bench for the Union. He scored several times for Union 2. But I can tell you, knowing the club like I do, that they're not just going to throw a 15-year-old, even if he's the best, from what they say now. It's unfair to the kid, just throw him in against all these big bodies and say, hey, go be creative. You know, we're down, go chase the goal. So it's what the game tells the coaching staff to say, this is what we need at the time. If it necessitates, you know, Kevin coming in, he will. But I would expect for Union fans and for Atlanta fans, maybe in the matchup, for Indiana Vasilev to assume that 10 role moving forward. And then we'll see. I don't know definitively. We'll see what the team does with the cash it has acquired if they make moves. You know, I think what the primary transfer window is, what, the 23rd of April? I don't expect us to make anything, you know, from there, and we'll see come the summer window.
Wrapping up another couple of minutes with Dave Leno. I don't want the fourth to get mad at us when he holds up the light board. So let's see. Andre Blake, Jesus Bueno, day-to-day, aren't we all? Olivier Mbiazo's status, somewhat in question. What kind of a lineup are you anticipating being trotted out at Chester?
So the Blake one is still a mystery. You know, he's day-to-day. He suffered a little bit of an adductor injury. As Bradley Carnell said at the press conference yesterday, you know, still, you know, training off to the side. When I was down there earlier this week with goalkeeping coach Phil Wedden, who's excellent with our club and others around the team. So a decision there for the staff to make between, I would expect either Andre to be healthy, and I'm hoping Dre is back fit, ready to go. Always like to see him and Guzan going up against one another. Dre, of course, stars for the Jamaican national team. And then Andrew Ricks, a kid that came from our academy. Should he start 19-year-old kid? It would be his third start this year, second consecutive against St. Louis, that kind of just sat back, absorbed all the pressure, really didn't do anything offensively, plays on the counter, plays very deep, like I said, defensively. And last game, a little bit of mistake, I would say. It's not just Rick coming out on a there was a long ball from the right back, Ilinich, for New York City, plays it down the flank. Our back line was playing high with that high line of confrontation. We get caught a little bit, and their number nine for New York, Alonzo Martinez, breaks free on the right side of the penalty area. Rick comes out, little indecisive move from him, like all the way outside his box. One of our defenders was trying to help, and unfortunately it was an open goal, and Martinez, their nine, was very composed to beat us, and that's how we lost, one of the ways we lost last game. But Rick's very capable of making saves, very good with Union too. He's kind of our backup now. Oliver Zemla is our choice. Backup was...
Oh, stick with it. Stick with it.
He's a choice, yep. Too. Yeah.
No, you're good. You drifted out for a sec. Keep going. You're good. You're on a roll.
You're going in and out, but that's the bike in the Philly area. So that's a decision to make. Center back wise, you mentioned some of the injuries. Jan Glavinovic, who he brought on loan from Newell's Old Boys, is still recovering from the meniscus. So you're looking like probably Glesnes and Owethu Makanya, who's a young South African, trying to hold down his own for the first time playing with the first team. Jovan Lukic has been a really healthy addition. I think fans across the league that have maybe checked in on the Union have marveled at the Serbian shooting ability from distance. Him and Danley Jean-Jacques, we just call him Danley, who plays with Haiti. He's very, very physical as a number six defensively. Quinn Sullivan's done really well at the 10 this year. He might be starting as well. I would expect him to be in the lineup up top. Good crossing ability, shooting from distance. He's the older brother of Kevin Sullivan, two Philly guys. And Quinn's really been a delight, had a ton of assists, a few goals last year. Came onto the scene with the first team, shining in a starting role last year, and getting more playing time. Happy for him. And Vasilev, could he be that heir apparent to Gazdag? Up top. Lastly, with the strikers, they're tinkering at the combinations, and likely what you guys will see: Baribo, Bruno Damiani, our new acquisition, good around the box, still, like I said earlier, finding his footing in MLS, and Michael Uwe, you can call him either way. Uwe, Damiani, Baribo. It's probably those first choice combinations up top at a 4-2-2-2 against Atlanta team I know is coming into town. You know, coming off of the loss, still looking for points to, although it's early in the season, given your talented roster from what we've seen in the offseason and everything, and the quality that you guys have, I think it's going to be a very, very entertaining game to cover here in Chester.
No doubt. No doubt. All right, cut the promo for me so folks can find out how they can listen to you, not just this weekend, but all season long.
Yeah, oh, thank you very much. So, yeah, so our Philadelphia Union radio broadcasts are on 97.5 FM or 97.5 The Fanatic in the Philadelphia area. For folks that want to hear a little bit of the Union call, if you're not in the market in the Philly area, very easy, completely free, 97.5 The Fanatic website, 97.5 The Fanatic app, completely free. You can click on the Union logo, can hear us. And obviously for when we're home, like this game, there is a feature, which is nice for Apple TV. If you want to hear the local radio call of the home team, I wish it was for you guys too, because I love Mike and Jason. They're phenomenal broadcasters. And they do an excellent job, covering Atlanta. I know for you guys. But there's a way, obviously there's a feature to hear the local call, like toggling an audio feature. So really privileged to do the games, my 10th season with the Union. Now that, since the Apple TV deal, I kind of more from the TV side with the team, onto more of the radio, full-time radio now. So we travel home and away like Mike and Jason. So, look forward to seeing them. And, it was wonderful talking to you this morning and your crew.
As always, Dave, now that you have opened the door, you have golden ticket status, you know, the link to come in. So in yes. any time you want to come in and crash into the hour of chaos on Fridays or just whenever you want to shoot the breeze, you can crash and come in anytime. It's great to see you, my friend. Thank you for safe guesting. Enjoy the call this weekend. We'll catch up with you soon, my friend.
All right. Thank you again. Take care. Hope to talk to you again.
There goes Dave Leno, everybody. And so that's your opposition research for Friday. Getting ready for everything going on involving Philadelphia Union. And like I said, it's always a fun thing that we've started doing this year is running around and catching the opposition and getting our intel from either a play-by-play voice or someone in the booth or something like that, that we can sit there and we can gravitate toward and get the intel that we need as we get ready for Atlanta United and Philadelphia. Kevin Egan coming up in about 5 minutes. As always, you can catch up with Dave on your local radio option on Apple TV Plus and your MLS coverage there, or you can catch up with Dave at Dave Leno TV on X and follow him on all of your social media. Please do. He's a great follow, and he's a great education when it comes to the hashtag Duke side of things. This is the best of SDHAM from the Soccer Down Here Network, and you can find us, SDHAM, Monday through Friday, starting 9:05 Eastern Time on our YouTube channel. You can also find us on X. You can find us on Twitch. You can also find the archive shows in podcast form on your favorite podcatcher, Spreaker being our number one source. But if you do a search for Soccer Down Here on your favorite podcast podcatcher networks, you can catch up with the shows in their entirety in audio form. Plus, you can catch up with some of the great segments that we have during the week, like this one. As always, it's great to catch up with our friend Kevin Egan, who's been a great friend of ours at SDHAM for quite some time. Kevin, now the host at MLS 360, has been for the last couple of seasons, and so he decided to knock on his door and find out what's going on in the world of MLS 360, what it's like, the challenges and the fun part of live TV and all of the different matchups going on all at the same time in studio and having to navigate all of that, plus a bit of a preview of Atlanta United and Philly, plus a question at the end about a big mania moment coming up this weekend. Here's our conversation with Kevin Egan.
First time in a long time on a very special weekend. It's a very special blossom. Here we go. We're bringing our buddy Kevin Egan to start hour number two.
Good morning. Good morning, Johnny boy.
Hey, brother. What's going on?
What is the crack, as we say in Ireland? That means how are you? All well?
Well, yeah. Well, the crack is we're running about 500 miles an hour, kind of like somebody that you know. Making sure that it's, you, brother. It's like, when do you catch your flight to head north?
A little bit later on, just in from the gym. I'm a sweaty Betty right now.
Whatever.
Went to do my burn boot camp up here with my wife.
So now who handles?
Wait, it's Kevin Patrick. He's not in Vegas. Says Ryan. Who's that? That's more 202. No, not anymore.
Yeah, that. Well, I was going to see if. That's Rich. Wait, hang on. Yeah, Rich Ransom. Yeah, Rich Ransom is our resident Philadelphia Union fan. And nice. So we do want to discuss Philadelphia and Atlanta as a part of your visit mm-hmm. here. So who handles boot camp better? Is it you or is it the boss?
It is. Do you know, it's funny. Meg destroys me with core stuff. Like if there's any kind of a plank competition or sit up competition, destroys me. But she hates doing sprints and stuff that I love. Yeah. So we're just different in that sense.
See, I just let the two of you do that, and it's like, give me my 4 mile walk once a week, and I'm in good shape. Yeah. And then by the time I'm done, an hour and 20 minutes later, I'm just like, nope, leave me alone. This ain't happening. I'm gonna go sit in the corner and just go, you know,
once a week, Johnny. You can be doing that every day. Come on.
I get it. I mean, how many steps do you get in a day?
10,000.
Wow.
Try to, no?
That's what I thought it was. Yeah, because you're supposed to get 10, or you're supposed to get, was it 8, or you're supposed to get 10?
I don't know. All I know is I'm turning 40 in a few weeks.
Oh, whatever.
I'm turning 40 in a few weeks, and I want to turn that corner into a new decade, you know, fit and healthy. So doing my best.
Turning 40, whatever.
You're still in your mid-30s. What are you talking about?
Smart man. That's why I love you. You know, so MLS 360, I want to get the MLS 360 question in here. What is the most interesting part about MLS 360? And what is the, when it comes to the broadcast in and of itself, what is the most challenging thing about MLS 360?
I think the most interesting, I'm trying to think about it from the viewer's perspective as opposed to in our seat, or maybe I'll give you our seat. The most interesting is just, I love the reactions of the analysts next to me. I can't focus on anything else but our main monitor and the show program monitor. Like, I can't focus on anything else, and I won't. I refuse to look at the 9 box that we have to our right-hand side that you'll often see Dax, Kale, and Sash, and Brad looking at. So sometimes they go, and I'm like, don't react, you know, stay the course and focus on what you're doing. So that's a lot of fun. My hope is that we can inform, educate, and entertain. And if somebody decides to tune into MLS 360 and give it a go for the first time, and they may not be the biggest fan of Major League Soccer, that by the end or an hour in, give us a go from 7:30 to 9:30, say that window, yep. Because this weekend we've got a boatload of games. First time in MLS history, we've got 15 games on a Saturday. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, so I hope that we can inform and educate, entertain, have a bit of fun as well.
Well, and the idea for me doing the livest of the live television, like something like that, where you're basically just bouncing and bouncing and bouncing, there's a lot of trust. What I've always told folks about live television, don't know how many folks have a dog, but, you know, when you take your dog out for a run at the lake, and the dog, you know, like if you've got a golden retriever just loves to go play fetch, and gets mm-hmm. the stick out of the lake. You throw the stick in the lake. The golden retriever goes and gets the stick and brings it back to you on the shore for round number 2. What do you see above the water line when it comes to that golden retriever? You just see the stick between the stick between the teeth, and he's just puffing and he's just doing his thing, and it's just all calm as he's coming back to shore. What's going on below the water line?
Yeah.
That golden retriever's doing this, man.
Yeah.
The stuff above the water line is what folks see on television.
Yeah.
What they don't see below the waterline is what happens to make live television be live television.
Yeah.
And it speaks a lot to the confidence you've got to have to the folks that are talking to you about, we got to go, you know, those kinds of moments. You got to have that kind of confidence, and you got to be that locked in.
Yeah. And obviously we're trying to be as live as possible. Maybe we're 10 seconds behind at certain points because a goal goes in elsewhere and our producer's got to quickly queue it up with the EVS machine. And in we go to another game. It's a lot of fun. I love the opening of the show in the sense that, like, you can really get into each game maybe before a goal is scored. But sometimes, you know, we could have 8 games going on at the same time. And next thing, a game kicks off. You're trying to speak about it for a second, but we got to bounce to another game. I couldn't pick a show that suits me more in terms of my own enjoyment. Genuinely, like, I've worked on many shows, and I would pick MLS 360 number one. And it's not even close, just because of the people I'm working with and also what I get to cover and see. I'm looking at the comments here. I've never fully focused on the comments on this show, John, like I'm doing right now. Abby, good morning. Hope you're well. Love you to pieces. You're the best. Jordan, I did not know that happened. That's wild. And Alex, how are you? That's great that you met Shay Given. What a legend he is. Irish legend Shay Given. So
yeah,
really cool.
This and like I said, this is our version of 360 when we do the AM. It's like trying to balance the guests, what's going on in their mind, and then the comments.
Yeah, I love it.
It's all this kind of stuff.
No, you guys do such a phenomenal job.
Well, and thank you for that, sir. Reminder that you mentioned that you've got all the activity going on, all 75 games happening on Saturday, and you've got. I think you're going to have. At some point, do they have the 10 box all ready to go?
10, yeah, should have.
Because you're going to have six at 7:30, and then another four at 8:30. I think the math is right. So
10 bucks.
You're going to have a 10 box, man. Mm-hmm.
This is the sort of stuff that gets John Nelson excited. You see a 10 box, you lose your mind, John.
I do. Because once again, it's that whole idea of hosting, and it's like, all right, I know I have all of these opportunities to tell stories simultaneously, and you'll have the afternoon game in the barn, so you'll have at least highlights to get you into the six, but then it's six chances to tell stories, or technically 12, then it's another four, and so you're having to sit there and you're juggling all 10 when it comes to what's going on here.
And we're at a stage of the season where we have real strong opinions on teams. Like, we've seen enough now. We've seen enough from Atlanta to have a strong opinion on Atlanta, from Philadelphia, you know, and so on. So like a game for me, like Seattle Nashville is a fascinating game. Seattle have the exact same record right now as Atlanta. If you were to ask the question, honestly, and appreciate that comment from that's just come in there, 360 is a bomb. So much energy from you, sir. Thank you. I feel like with 360, if I don't meet the commentator's energy, so if there's a commentator on a game that hits a 9 out of 10 on a great goal, and our producer 4 seconds later says, "Go, Kev," if I come in at a 5 or 6 out of 10, it doesn't add up for the viewer. It doesn't sound right. So it's just, that's where hopefully the show has good energy. But you know, Seattle and Atlanta. Wow. Mm-hmm. At this stage of the season, John. Mm-hmm. But Seattle were many people's pick to win the Supporter Shield. Atlanta, absolutely. Everybody had Atlanta in the top four in the East this year. You know, so, I don't know anyone that didn't.
Yeah. So then what's your diagnosis so far, Dr. Egan, about what's been going on with Atlanta so far here? Is, I know, obviously, expectations at the Children's Healthcare of Atlanta training ground, and outwardly, it's like you have one thing, and right now you only have this to show for it.
Yeah. I think there's so many facets to what's going on right now. One, so let's focus on the positives first. The positives are there's chances being created in games, hitting the woodwork twice in the last game. Miguel has a goal ruled off that I hate to see that decision made, even though I understand it. I understand that the rule and the player, you know, blocking the cross doesn't have control of the ball. I get it when I read the rule book, but the fact that, John, the fact that it has such a small, it plays such a small role in the goal and rules out a beautiful strike from Miggy is a killer. So many, there's positives in a lot of ways, but man, there's so many things that are concerning. And I saw Felipe Cardenas on Twitter yesterday talking about the personality within the team, and I couldn't disagree with him. I listened to it thinking, I see a lot of this. There's a lot of things in the game where I'm looking for big personalities. And I think when you look, and it doesn't need to be shouting and screaming. Michael Parkhurst had a massive personality on the field for Atlanta United without screaming and shouting all the time.
Yeah.
Darlington Nagbe, a huge personality in the way he stepped in moments, in the way he used his body to make a statement in games. These Atlanta United players, honestly, stop looking around for someone else to do it. Start doing it yourselves. It feels like that sort of a moment for these players that are clearly good enough in my mind. I think that it's way too soon to be judging Ronnie Dyla too much. I've seen some comments out there that Ronnie Dyla has got to go. I don't buy into that at all after 8 games. I think you've got to give a coach time. But it's not good enough from a team that have spent $50 million on an attack that you would expect more chances, more goals. But the big issue, I think, is the cohesion in midfield. And I would, with that team, with that group of players, I would switch to a three back. I would switch to three back. I would go wing backs, and I think you've got a big decision to make, whether it's Brooks Lennon or Saba Lobjanice on the right-hand side. Right now, I think I'd lean towards Saba on the right-hand side as a wing back. Pedro Amador on the left. And I think in that sort of a system, you can get Mirончук a little bit deeper while still having balance, and you can play Miguel Almirón off Emmanuel Latelat.
All right. So that's diagnosis, Kevin Egan. I feel like I need to get you a stethoscope for situations.
No, and it's not all doom and gloom. Like MLS is forgiving. The season could be turned around instantly, and I hope that's the case. I live in Atlanta. My son is wearing Atlanta United jerseys every day. I want this team to do well. And I want to try and get to more games if I could with James, but you just want to see more as a fan watching the game right now from the players that are there. And it's not just the skill and the passing and the chance creation and the tactics. Sometimes it goes beyond that. And you think about leaders that Atlanta United have had, and those are the players, that personality that's been mentioned before right now, I think, is missing.
Kevin Egan hanging out with us, head coach. He is the host, head coach and host. He is the host of hashtag MLS360, because that's what they encourage, the hashtag MLS360 on the weekends on Apple TV. When you look at, so follow-up question. How much time do you allot for patience when it comes to integrating who should be where and what and all these things when it comes to formation and laying everything out? Because we've seen out of the blocks, and yes, I know it was CF Montreal, we've seen against NYC in the comeback there, you've seen how electric this group can be with mm-hmm. me dropping back a little bit and being part of the process.
With who, sorry, John?
With you had that Mirончук dropping back a little bit.
Yeah.
Sorry,
yeah.
I went native with the pronunciation. It's all the years I had spending hockey.
No, how'd you say it? I was just curious.
Mirончук.
No, nice. I just didn't hear you. I'm sorry.
That's yeah. Perfect. No, it's because I'm coming through with allergies. So it's Mirончук. So you have Mirончук playing deeper, acting more of a playmaker. The space was there for him to create. And you saw what happened against NYC with the big comeback. You saw it early in the year with Latelat and with Miggy and everybody coordinating against CF Montreal. So what I'm gathering from you here is what you're looking at stylistically. How much patience are you giving all of these new transactions to be a part of this new group to find themselves? Or was your patience in training camp and you've got to hit the ground running? Where's your level of patience about integrating all these pieces?
It's an interesting one, because Ronnie Dyla did say just a few days ago, if the players aren't doing it, they'll be gone. That right. He kind of said something. Am I right in saying that? Guys were probably there. It was something along those lines. I need to get the quote from my prep today, but that was a big thing to say, is that he's a coach with a reputation of an MLS champion coming into this club from winning in 2021 with New York City. And I don't think he's going to want any players that aren't living up to the billing or aren't giving it absolutely everything. They need to move on, because the standards that Atlanta United have been set from the early days, and they should be held accountable, these players. I think Sasha and Brad have been talking a lot on the show, and Bradley made the point last week on Wrap Up that he sees a little bit of a he sees Atlanta United as a counter-attacking team. Remember, with Tata Martino, this team played nearly counter-attacking football via possession, luring teams in, and then all of a sudden you find Nagby in a little bit of a pocket, he sprays it wide for Tito Villalba, and away goes Miggy and Joseph, and all of a sudden this team was flowing and attacking and fun and direct and lightning quick. The players like Saba, Miggy, Latelat, are those profiles are similar. Mirончук isn't that guy at all. Alexi Mirончук is much more of a heavy possession style, I would think, from watching him over in Serie A, from speaking with some of my friends at CBS about Mirончук over with Atalanta as well. Maybe in that system change, if there was to be one, he plays a little bit deeper, where he's a classy ball player and he is that guy. We did a piece of analysis on the show a few weeks ago, Dax did, talking about that, just how he became that link. And all of a sudden, he looks so good doing it. And he's passing the ball in a much more impressive way than we've seen from Bartosz Slysz or from Click hasn't played a whole lot since he's been with the club. Tristan Mayumba's impressed, and I think Ronnie Dyla is a fan, but I like Mirончук in that deeper role, and I do like Jay Fortune as well.
All right, so Maddie Cruz was at practice, and so hanging out with us here. She was hanging out in the green room, and so yes, Kevin, get your caffeine in. There we go. So,
hey, Maddie.
Hey, what's up?
What's up, my friend? How are you?
Good. How are you?
Great, thank you.
So Kevin was wondering about Ronnie at practice the other day, and I know that you and Jason on Training Ground Dispatch got the chance to see what's going on with Ronnie. And Ronnie's like, well, if you ain't performing, you ain't going to be out there. True? You're not going to be here. You're not going to be out there. You're not going to be here, period. What was the vibe with Ronnie Dyla this week?
Well, I'll tell you, if you watched our dispatch, me and Jason said it. I think out of the time I think for me, I've only been really a part in covering the club for about a year now, but I think Jason even said it. I said it. I think that was one of the best media availabilities I've ever attended.
Wow. Why is that?
It was just so open and raw, and it was very much laid all out on the table. And it was everything. It talked about everything and like what needs to be done. And the thing that I think I took away from it was, you know, people are asking like his philosophy, what he wants to do. And it's very much, he's like, but it's not my philosophy. It has to be Atlanta's philosophy. It has to be whatever it is. I want players to contribute. I want them to do things. But it's something that resonated with me, even with Bartosz Leach when he talked this week. Like, he thinks they're being too nice. And I agree. I want to see some grittiness. I want to see them go out there. If a player gets trekked down, I want everyone coming
in. But I want to see it from him, too.
Absolutely.
It's all well and good. Players can talk all they want.
Absolutely.
The greatest leaders this club has ever seen, Michael Parkhurst and Darlington Nagbe, in my mind. Both of them didn't speak a whole lot. So if players want to go and have media availability and impress the media through their wonderful, you know, gritty tones, come on. That's all well and good, but be that guy in the dressing room and be that guy in the field and set the tone inside the first 5 minutes.
I agree. You know? I agree. I think we've seen glimpses of it from him too. We've seen glimpses of it, I think, last season in particular, and I want to see more of it this season. Yeah. And I mean, what better way to prove that you got the greediness than going up against the Philadelphia Union?
I mean, you got Philly, and Kevin, we know what Philadelphia and Atlanta, when those two when those two go up against each other, it's like two rams on a mountainside on National Geographic, you know.
Yeah, it is, and Philadelphia right now have gone off the boil a little bit too, but I do like a lot of their pieces. I hated the Gazdag trade on their part because they're already, you know, Ernst Tanner's talking about maybe we'll do something in the summer. You're thinking, no, you've just brought in $4.5 million. You know, you've got to go and spend it. Go and help Bradley Carnell. Who's now, he's a fan of Indy Vasilev. I get it. He's going to play Indy Vasilev in that role, but Vasilev's never been a goal scorer. You're not replacing the goals from your all-time leading goal scorer in Daniel Gazdag. I would nearly like to see more minutes from Kevin Sullivan if that's the case. And let's see if he can be a little bit more goal dangerous. But Baribo's gone off the boil a little bit of late. Damiani looks good. I think he prefers Damiani and Ty Baribo to lead the line. I think Jan Glavinovic is a huge loss at the back for them. Yep. He's been a big, big player since coming in early in the season. I thought he looked really good. Former Newell's player. So when he went up against Messi, like, you know, I went on his Instagram and I could see on his Instagram, he had a photograph of when he played for Newell's against Messi and how he's just God to him. And anyway, I think it's two teams right now that are desperate for all 3 points. And I think Atlanta, with the counter-attacking players that they can have, I think if Atlanta can be strong defensively, there's goals in this team for sure.
All right, you want to cut the promo? Because I know that you got to go and shower and catch a plane and all those kinds of things. Cut the promo for us so we can watch the 10 box coming up this weekend.
It is the first time in MLS history we've got 15 games on Saturday. 15 games. We've got 30 teams in the league now, everybody competing on Saturday for a first time, including Columbus, Miami, the only two unbeaten teams in Major League Soccer. Who's better? You decide. We'll find out on Saturday as well. But MLS 360 is where it's at. We're going to have, what did we say, John? 10 games going on at the same time on MLS 360. John Nelson's going to have himself a 10 bucks. And join us for the ride here. I'm seeing some great comments. Use the hashtag MLS 360. Get involved in the chat too.
All right. So who's going to win, Cody or Cena?
Cody or Cena? This is a tough one. I love both of those guys.
Well,
as people, they're two of my favorite people.
Yeah.
I don't know, man. I'm gonna go Cody. Cody's the local boy up here. I'm gonna go Cody.
Clean finish, or are you gonna have some shenanigans?
No, there's no chance to clean finish. No chance. You're joking me.
Well, and full disclosure, somewhere in my stacks, I have an interview with a young Cody Runnels when he won a state championship in at Lassiter High School.
Yeah, yeah.
It's on DVC Pro, and I've got it. It's one of the most fun interviews I ever did because in his corner for that match, Glacier, some guy named Dusty Rhodes, and Diamond Dallas Page, they were in his corner in the match, and Dustin called in the middle of the interview. Dusty answers his cell phone, and he's like on camera, and he's trying to figure out who it is while I'm talking to Cody, and he goes, here, it's Dustin, literally while the interview is going on. And so I have to talk to Dustin Rhodes on a cell phone while I'm talking to Cody with a microphone and Dusty in the interview after the after he won the title.
Dusty always knew how to entertain.
You know, American dream, Dusty Rhodes. As always, my friend, you know, now that you have the keys to the kingdom, you can come in the hour of chaos whenever you want. Basically, appreciate on Fridays, we're always talking this. This is what this block is for. I've kept you for 3 minutes. Sergey Demyanchuk, the fourth official, has gotten mad because we've gone past the number that's on the light board. Love you very much, my friend. Just be safe. Get up there. Have a great show. I'm going to enjoy. I'm going to take a picture of the 10 box.
John, what, have I never seen all these comments before on the show? I'm loving all the thanks for stopping by, Kev. Appreciate you. Thank you. And Cena breaks Flair's record. Yeah, could very well happen. I'll just say this. I had three wonderful years with WWE. I was, you know, I was more than happy. I needed to turn the page. I was gone from my family constantly, like 5-6 days a week of young kids. And I love soccer is my love. Cena and Cody Rhodes, two of the best guys, two of the best guys for everybody in that building. So to see those two collide is a real special moment, I know, for Cody. And yeah, we'll see. I could care less who wins, in all truth. Like, as long as they put on a masterpiece, which I know they will, that's all that matters. But I'll be focusing on MLS 360.
Yeah, you'll be kind of busy on the Tuesday weekend out in Vegas. Love you, my friend. Don't be a stranger.
Love you guys, too. Thanks. See you, Maddie. All the best, everybody. Yeah. Take care, guys.
There goes Kevin. As always, great to catch up with Kevin and find out what's going on in his world and his part of the planet when it comes to his thoughts with Atlanta United, with Major League Soccer, and everything else going on in the Kevin Eaton universe. This is the Best of SDHAM, found on the SDH Network, on the SDH Network YouTube channel, in audio form on your favorite podcatcher. You can also find us live Monday through Friday on X and on Twitch, in addition to our YouTube live broadcast that we have Monday through Friday. Another one of the programs that we have here on the SDH Network is called Soccer's in Session. And Soccer's in Session is, during the regular season anyway, a weekly, and then more during the postseason, a weekly look at high school soccer in one of the great states for high school soccer here in the United States, in the state of Georgia. Number three, when it comes to recruits for American football, and you've got a lot of recruits that are becoming a part of that same discussion when it comes to soccer. And what we like to do is we like to discover programs and like to educate everyone else in and around the state of Georgia about great programs, great stories, and the growth of the game in general. This conversation comes from this past week's episode of Soccer's in Session, where we caught up with the coaching staff. It started out as the head coach, and then it turned into the head coach and the assistant coach of the Morgan County program. And it's Aaron Paul, the head coach, Brandon York, the number one assistant, who has a bit of a backstory with the program there at Morgan County. So here's our conversation to find out more about the Morgan County program, a success kind of in between media market. We're going to Morgan County. We're going to catch up with Aaron Paul because he hit a milestone. And I want to talk about that and a bunch of other things about what's going on. We welcome in Aaron Paul to Soccer's in Session. What's up, Coach?
Hey, John, how are you?
Doing all right. So, full disclosure, you've got a class that's being quiet behind you. Is that how this works?
They're doing great. It's actually my law class. So we just got done talking about the Supreme Court, and they're almost asleep now. So,
well, I thought that maybe you were going to talk about assumed risk because of being an audience in a live audience in a talk show.
Well, I trust them, so we're pretty good.
What's in the mug, by the way, and what is the mug?
It's just the standard Morgan County High School mug with coffee. I drink about we had a late game last night against Ace Charter, and I drink about a gallon of coffee a day, so probably not good for me. But
well, hey, brother, I mean, you have your colored, darkly colored liquid. I have my lightly colored liquid that's on the other side of this. I have never been able to do coffee, so for me, it's Mountain Dew. So tell me about last night and the roadie to Ace Charter, and what's it been like for you this season?
We beat Ace Charter last night 4-1. I was hoping for a clean sheet. We gave up a goal in the second half. We scored our fourth goal, and then immediately a couple minutes later, they had some momentum, sent a ball over the top, caught us off, and put a goal in on us right down the middle. And it was a great goal. Their striker is very fast for number three. Our defense just down the middle couldn't keep up with him. I thought the first half last night we played extremely well. If you look at our again, it's huddle data. You don't know how accurate it is, but our possession percentages were phenomenal. Our passing was phenomenal. That's something that we've really tried to work on all year. Sorry, I'm looking over here trying to pull it up real quick.
It's all good. It's no worries on my end.
Like our possession last night was 63% to 37%. We had, again, it's huddle data, but we had 386 passes to their 195. Our pass success rate was 69%. One thing I look at is the number of passes we make in our defensive third. And if that number is close to even or greater than our passes in the attacking third, we don't win the game. And so last night, our 48 passes in the defense, and then we had 87 passes in the attack. So that tells me we should have won the game. So season's going great. We are sitting at a 12-2. Mm-hmm. We won region championship again. We've done it 5 years in a row, which I thought was a pretty big deal, especially we changed regions this year. We dropped from AAA down to AA and then moved over. Instead of going east to Augusta, we're going west to region two with Callaway, Pike, Jackson, Rutland, and Westside. So I drive the bus too for the away game. So we have been burning up the miles in the late nights traveling. But our region, I would think region two, AA is pretty tough. Callaway is very well coached. They're a really good program overall. Pike County historically, last year Pike County was in AAA. I think we finished number 8 in AAA. They finished number 7. So us and Pike have been kind of chasing each other in the playoffs. We actually haven't played them since 2014. But rankings wise, we've been there. And then Jackson High School in Butts County was, I call them the dark horse of the region, because they have gotten so much better over the season. They actually came into Madison one night and scored very quickly. And we got out of our game and we just couldn't get in the back of the net, and they beat us 1-0. So, and you know, sometimes that's how it goes. So anyway, but season's going really good, but our goal is to get out of the Elite Eight. We've done that twice now, and we got to take that next step.
When you look at region, and you mention how in 2AA you're going from where you are basically to – all right, so let me see if I can peg this. So it's Hogansville, Zebulon,
yeah,
Jackson, the DeFore complex in Macon, and Rutland. I think Rutland on campus, or do they do
– they play at DeFore too.
Okay. So basically you're going from where you are in Madison – all the way over to Hogansville at one point, to DeFore at others. You mentioned burning it up. I mean, I hope that you're clocking 55 cents a mile on these things. What kind of – I mean, when it comes to making sure that your team is as ready as it can be, knowing that you're probably going to get tires rotated, an oil change, a lot of maintenance on that Yellowhound. I mean, what's it like for you to be in a region where you have to take up this much space and you're playing each other twice?
Well, we're kind of used to it because the last four years, we were in the Augusta region. So we were playing ARC, which is in Augusta. You drive right past the Masters to get there. And then Harlem is actually not far down the road, down 20. Yeah. But then we played Cross Creek, which is probably 30 minutes south of Augusta, and then also Hepzibah High School. So we've been used to making long trips the last 4 or 5 years. So it really didn't bother us that much. The Callaway game that's the farthest one we've gone to by far. We actually ended up having to play it on a Thursday night because Callaway had like a conflict. And so I think I got home at 1:40 in the morning and then had to turn around and be at school the next morning. So parking lot duty at 7:30.
So how do you make sure that your team is as – I mean, I know that you're used to it, but still, you got to plot. You've got to plan. You've got to make sure that
the roads are okay and traffic's okay and that your guys have the rollers and that they're not cramping up on the bus and stretching legs. I mean, it's almost like the Friday night football in the fall for these long roadies that you've got to take as good a care of them that you have to as well with this region being laid.
It's not overdoing it. You know, one thing I've been doing this 11 seasons now. One thing I've learned is you can definitely overcoach and overwork your guys. You know, my guys have been playing soccer year round. They're conditioned, they're in shape, their touches are fine. Biggest thing for us is the chemistry part and the playing together part, and then just maintaining their, you know, taking care of their bodies, trying to prevent injuries, staying hydrated. You know, we lost an Elite Eight game in 2021 to Cahoula Creek, who won the state championship, and I had five guys cramping in overtime. They were starters. If three of them had not cramped, we probably may have won a state championship. Yeah. And so our practices are short, to the point. I try to get them out of there. You know, today we're coming off the game last night. We're going to be real short and sweet. We're actually going to split time and go outside and then go in the gym and practice a little bit. And then we play Oconee tomorrow. Mm-hmm. And then there's not a set schedule, really. It just depends on like those weeks we had to travel to Callaway. We actually had to go to Macon on Wednesday, come back, and then go to Callaway the next night. That was rough. So, and then I think we played, we may have played that Tuesday as well.
Man.
No, we didn't. We played Wednesday, Thursday. You know, taking a Friday off, if we had to take a Tuesday off, you know, some kind of just off time for them to rest and get away. So,
because I'm looking at the schedule, and back in March, you were at Westside, then you were at Callaway on the 5th and the 6th. You ended up in back-to-back wins. You played three matches in a week, all on the road. At Westside, win. At Callaway, win. At Rutland, win. I mean, dude.
Yeah, we're road warriors this year, for sure.
Okay, so you hit a milestone this year. And what's it like to have won 100 matches there at the program?
Well, Jackson, so my guys were joking with me. So Jackson actually came in and derailed that a little bit when they came in and upset us on the 18th.
Right.
Because I was supposed to get it at Rutland the next day. And Jackson came in here and upset us, and I was furious with our guys because I just felt like we didn't play very well. Not because of the milestone, but because I just didn't think Jackson should have beat us in that situation, especially at home. And so we go to Rutland the next night, and we win, and they were all like, you know, I said, all right, well, and they were all like, well, the next one's at home. They're like, we'll get your 100th win at home. And I said, that don't matter. And they said, coach, we didn't want you to get it in Macon. We wanted you to get it in Madison in the stadium or whatever. They were like, so we lost the game on purpose so you could – you know, that's what they said. So you could get it at home. And I was like, no, that's not how this works. Like, don't do that. So I have a really good relationship with my players. I got eight seniors. One senior, his two older brothers actually played for me. You know, so I've had somebody in the family for seven seasons now. I have another senior whose little brother is a freshman on the team. Another senior whose little brother is a freshman on the team who plays for us on varsity as well. Just a real big sense of community. This is the only place I've ever coached soccer. You know, I've been here 11 seasons. And so it was special to get those 100 wins. I would have gotten it a little earlier if COVID hadn't knocked us out in 2020. But I really didn't realize that milestone was coming up until I always put every year at the end of the year kind of what we did, where we are, just to keep up with it. And then I realized that, oh, I could get 100 wins this year. All I needed was eight. So at the beginning of the season. So it was special. And it's special to do it here at Morgan County because we have a sense of community. And I feel like we've built something really, really special. We've gotten a new field house built. We have a soccer locker room. We have a Jumbotron in the stadium this year. We're getting new stadium lights with the LED flashers this summer. I'm probably one of the few schools in the state that has dedicated practice fields with lights on them that I can use whenever. So I'm blessed. I feel really fortunate, but I wouldn't be here without our players. We have really, really good players and kids that care about our community and care about the school. So, and actually my assistant, Brandon York, just walked in. Brandon has been with me back since 2020. He came back quote unquote, out of quasi-retirement to coach with me. And Brandon was the head coach before me from 2012 to 2014.
Correct.
And then he's also been a part of Morgan County Soccer since 07.
Yes.
So he's been around a long time with the program. So he is a guy that is extremely valuable to our team and our history. So
Let me ask the both of you, since you've wandered into the shot. So let me ask you both, what has it been like to see the sport embraced as much as it is there in Madison and at Morgan County?
Well, when I first came here, we honestly didn't have enough funding to buy postseason shirts. And now we have extraordinary facilities, as Coach Paul had just talked about. We have dedicated boosters. There's so much buzz. People ask us when they see us in the community how the program is doing. It's very, very exciting.
Aaron, what about from your perspective?
It's very exciting because when I came in summer of 2014, we have a club team in town. We have a rec department program as well, and our rec department has since built an entire soccer only complex at our rec department. It's nothing but soccer fields right here off 441 in Madison. And then they just finished completing baseball, softball fields, and just the growth of the community. I think our location being 25 minutes from Athens, about 35 minutes from Rockdale, because Risa club used to be really big. So some of my guys would go to Athens and play, some would go to Risa. And then I have a lot that play on the club team here in town for Mesa. And it's just been fun to watch. And there is a lot of support and a lot of people that really love the game in Madison. And we have kids that are, I've had guys play at Georgia Southern, play at the next level. Some played at Piedmont. Some guys, I've got three seniors right now that are signed to go play at Truett McConnell. I've had some college coaches come reach out, watch some games and things like that, you know, just Georgia colleges. And so it's really special that we've got this infrastructure and just seen the growth in the program.
When you have, I mean, in both of your tours, as you guys have coached in and around the state, and we see it when we're out in the community and we call matches as well, that there are programs that are having tough times. They are, you know, they're learning, they're having student athletes learn how to play. They may not necessarily be winning a lot of matches. They may not necessarily be scoring a lot of goals. And for them, it's a tough slog. What advice would you give those coaches so they get the chance to continue to grow the games on their respective campuses so the game can grow on the whole? What advice would you guys give those coaches that are having tough times that and the hill may seem really high for them to get out and win matches and be the part of the community that you guys are?
I started at a program that was pretty much exactly that at Dooley County. We started up boys soccer there in 2006, I believe. And we played against schools like Fitzgerald and Thomasville that were clearly primed for deep runs at that time in single A. Very few counties aside of like Houston County at that point in South Georgia really had dedicated soccer programs at all. I recall one fella who was just incredibly demoralized after we had seen a two-goal lead slip away from us. And at the very end, he was like, man, I'm fatigued with losing. And I spoke to him and I said, look, man, is that what you think we're doing here? Do you think we're losing? I mean, we're a first-year program. We have very modest goals. Are you continuing to have an exciting experience with a new sport? This is a fellow who'd come from baseball and football background. It's like, you get to continue your athletic career. You get to be around fellows that you have not been around at school here. You get to put on the jersey again. This is exciting to do. Wins and losses, those are great. But these are experiences that can never be taken away from you.
Aaron, what about from you and your travel?
I think you got to make it fun. Your players have got to want to come to practice and play for you or play for your school or play for each other. I think that's the building that kind of sense of team, which is very hard when you start getting good at soccer, because you have so many club programs now and you have a lot of high school kids that are stepping away from high school ball to play a club program or a club team. We actually lost three starters this year, one before the season and two as the season got started to club teams full time. And then we rallied and were able to win a region again, even after losing those three starters for us. So I think advice to other programs is consistency. You see a lot in the high school world of it's hard to hire young teachers and coaches because the amount of work that goes into it. I mean, Monday night after practice, I'm painting the field, I'm fixing goals. You know, there's so much that goes into it that club coaches don't have to deal with. And quite frankly, I've got a former player of mine who's been coaching club like crazy. He coaches here in town for us, and he actually went to Spain and coached. He can make so much more money coaching club ball than you can as a teacher and a coach. And so consistency and make it to where your players want to be a part of your program.
All right, time to brag on your players a little bit. I know that you've really been scoring a lot of goals. I know that your pride, though, is in your defense. You're only giving up an average of a goal a match so far this year when you're 12-2. For someone who was to walk into that matchup with Oconee County or take a peek at you in the playoffs, who are some of the folks that would be instantly gravitated toward on your play?
Start at the back, our goalkeeper, Blake Downs. He's a senior. He's going to TMU to play. Tall, very, very wide wingspan. He is phenomenal back there in goal and has been. He's been our starter for 3 years,
absolutely,
for three seasons. He's just experienced, calm, cool, collected, doesn't get rattled. So starting with the keeper, Blake Downs, is huge. Center back, Carson Keener. He's the one that had his two older brothers actually played center back for us as well. Solid. He's played his entire life. He commands that defense back there. Does a fantastic job. And then our midfield is two seniors and a junior. Kentucky Outlaw.
That's his real name.
That's his real name.
Seriously.
Yes.
Kentucky Outlaw. What number is he? Seven?
Six.
Number six. He's actually our valedictorian this year at Morgan County High School. He is going to Georgia Tech to major in computer science, and he'll probably be like the next Bill Gates or something.
We actually have a long history of our soccer program producing valedictorians.
We've got three valedictorians for the boys team, and one
salutatorian
and
from the girls.
But we also had a salutatorian for the boys.
Oh, yeah.
Caleb?
Yes.
Yeah, we had a salute. Yeah, so we have some pretty smart guys.
Wow.
So, yeah, Kentucky Outlaw in the midfield. And then the other senior midfielder is Julian Tenorio. He is another senior for us. He actually got offered from TMU, but he's not sure what he wants to do after he graduates. But both of those guys have two younger brothers that are freshmen. And then Rocco Biscaglia, everybody messes his name up when we travel, is a junior midfielder for us. And they have done a fantastic job locking down our midfield and really kind of controlling the game. And then our goal scorers, number seven, Teddy Young, who actually has been playing a lot of defense for us the past few seasons, but he's going to Coa Falls College to play. He's been scoring goals. Corbin Hegwood is a junior. He came to us from Texas and as a freshman, his whole family moved out here. He's been scoring goals. Ashland Outlaw is Kentucky's little brother, has been scoring. And then Chase Link is a senior going to TMU, playing striker for us. And then Larson DTN also. So we got a really good rotation in our offense of guys. And we got eight seniors this year. So we're constantly working and moving and evaluating. We have 31 guys in the program between JV and varsity. So we're constantly evaluating, trying to figure out and where can we get some kids minutes to try to build for next year as well. We got a freshman class of 13 players and they're very technical, very, very good players. So that freshman class, I think, is going to end up being special for us.
Okay. I know that the fourth is holding up the number of minutes here, and I'm probably going to add a couple here to go into extra time with the two of you. I don't want to get you into any trouble with anybody on campus. The question that I like to ask to wrap up conversations with coaches is this.
when I have time on the FOOTBALL Fridays in the fall, Football Fridays, when I'm working over at Georgia Public, we have a segment that we call Make That Kid an Offer. And we're applying it here to SDH for the same reasons, because we think that in one of the top states for talent in the country, for whatever reason, there's a student athlete that is either underlooked, underappreciated, not getting the looks that this individual should for whatever reason. They're too short. They're too slow. They're, and all in air quotes. Is there anybody or are there anybodies there on campus that you think isn't getting the looks they deserve or getting any looks, period, that if you were to sit there and stand on the top of the the roof of the high school, sit there and go, hey, make that kid an offer. Look at this individual or individuals. Who would fit make that kid an offer for you there at the program?
Let me look at my roster. Three of them already have off. Four of them have offers, so that makes it tough.
Well, but do you think that maybe that even though they would be going to Truett-McConnell, would the situation be where maybe, you know, if somebody higher, you know, like Division II or somebody was looking, would it fit? That's
I would say Teddy Young, number 7, would be the guy.
He is an athlete.
He's an athlete.
He's an athlete.
He
can play. He can play multiple positions. We've had to shift him around a lot during the season out of need.
Call him the Swiss Army knife.
He has never ever complained or groused about having to play out of position. He's someone who just he's a kid who absolutely wants to win and has a remarkable soccer IQ.
He's a great kid.
I mean, Corbin. I
Corbin Hegwood is a junior.
Yeah, as a junior, I like him a lot. That young man plays like his hair is on fire. I mean, sometimes he plays like he's running down a flight of stairs.
Yeah.
But, I mean, put him as a striker and something will happen. Something interesting
happen.
Will happen.
Yeah.
I mean, might be horrifying, might be spectacular. But
yeah, something's going to happen.
He's going to stir the drink.
Yeah.
Oh, that's fantastic. I'm glad that we were able to have this conversation. It's great to catch up with you guys and great to see what's going on out there at Morgan County, because what we also like to do is we like to introduce the state to the rest of the state, for lack of a better word. We can sit there and it's like, hey, here's somebody that's doing really great things on the field and off. Keep an eye on them during the regular season. And if you see them in the postseason, you sit there and go, oh, I know that story. I know what happened with these guys. That's why I wanted to reach out and have you guys here on the show. And thanks for doing it the last week of the regular season as you get ready for, a matchup against Oconee County tomorrow. I
know. It'll be a great game tomorrow. Rematch from last year's Elite Eight. So
very excited.
Well, guys, be safe. Track your miles. Make sure that the coffee pot is going full bore. Aaron, congratulations on clearing triple digits. Guys, thanks for dropping by and letting us know what's going on out there at Morgan County. I know I kept you over. We went into added extra time, but it was worth it.
It's great fun. To see it's you guys.
See you soon.
Yes, sir. Thanks,
absolutely.
John.
Thank you.
There we go. Aaron Paul. Postseason for the GHSA, the Georgia High School Association, on the boys and girls side starts this upcoming week. So, our charge to you, as it always is, find a school, find a city, but find a school that might be in the postseason near you that you haven't had the chance to go see, a venue that you haven't had a chance to go see. And it's a great way to, once again, continue to grow the game, to share the game with folks that may not have had the opportunity to see clubs first time through because you were busy with other schools and other activities. So now postseason starts up this week at the GHSA, and we'll have you covered on the SDH Network. That is the go-round of SDHAM for everybody here at the SDH Network. Jason Longshore, Maddie Cruz, Jared Smith, Nick Alethi, Sophia Cupertino, and myself, the cast of thousands that we have here. I'm John Nelson. Thanks for dropping by for another go-round of the best of SDHAM. Play it safe, everybody. Mucha plata, y'all. We'll catch up with you again next week.